I invite you to remain standing a moment longer as we read this morning's gospel. I'll be reading from the gospel according to Mark, the fourth chapter, verses 26 through 34. He also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet, when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Well, hopefully by now we know it's Father's Day, and men, I'm almost apologetic. I thought, you know, maybe the scripture text for today would have some sort of powerful man kind of story for us. And while this story certainly applies to us men, it just didn't have the excitement the suspense that maybe you men enjoy. I mean, one of the things I'd like to do this afternoon is to watch some action or drama or something like that on TV. That just seems to me something that a man might enjoy doing. And so maybe this text today kind of lets you down a little bit. Well, let's talk about this. I mean, Jesus is saying and using parables to teach here, and I looked at these two. They're just so small. I mean, they're tiny in comparison to some of the other stories or the parables that Jesus tells. I almost wondered, are these even parables? Even though Jesus says they are? I mean, they're almost like they're so insignificant. Where is the meat that comes from him? I mean, we have a farmer that just, according to what Jesus says, just throws seed out. There's no mention that the farmer does any farmer kind of things, like plowing, getting the soil ready. There's apparently no weeding that goes on as the plants grow. There's no watering. I mean, there's no kind of farmer things going on. There's no threats to the crops. There's no locusts or scorching heat to burn up the crops. It's just almost so simple. No birds to eat of the, no stones that the seeds fall on and can't grow. It was just such a simple story. And really, the second parable that Jesus tells doesn't seem to have a whole lot more. At least the mustard seed, as it sprouts and brings forth its large canopy, at least the birds, you know, have a place to get out of the heat, a place to rest. It's kind of disappointing in a way that these two parables were so almost insignificant, if you will, or straightforward. No, There wasn't the story of a prodigal, of a son who squandered his wealth coming home and the father wrapping his arms around there. There was no disappointment of a bridesmaid who didn't prepare her lamps ahead of the ceremony. There was nothing, no workers who complained about unfair wages at the end of the day. It just was kind of insignificant and small. But friends, big things come out of things that we think are insignificant. Big things God does with things that you and I might think are too small. King Duncan tells a story that apparently Ronald Reagan used to like to tell. It was a story of a seemingly small and timid man who walks into a bar one day and he gets everybody's attention, and he said, does anybody own the pit bull that was tied to the parking meter outside? And this this very rough, big biker stands up and he says, "Well, that's my dog." And this timid little man says, "I'm sorry, but I think my dog has killed your dog." And the biker roared, looking down at this little man, "How could that be? What kind of a dog do you have?" And this little man, cowering from the large biker, he says, "A Pekingese?" And the biker says, "That's ridiculous. How could your little Pekingese kill my pit bull?" And the man says, "Well, it appears he got caught up in the mouth of my dog." Little things have lots of power, my friends. Jesus tells this parable. He tells us this parable that the sower has gone out and sown seeds. And in this parable, if you will, if you'll look at this a little closer, this farmer then just goes about his work. God, you see, is bringing the growth. It is God's will that the seed that the farmer has sown, it is God who is nurturing this growth for God's glory. These seeds are a lesson to us about patience, about not trying to hasten the things that God has for us along. I'm not telling us we don't need to pray, and I don't think Jesus was telling us that. But Jesus says this is what God's kingdom is like. God puts these things in place, and God brings growth to them. Writers of other parts of our scripture text, such as the Apostle Paul, speak to that, about how others do part of the nurturing of what God is already doing. And sometimes you and I don't get that. We don't understand this magnificent work that God is doing. Sometimes we get so caught up in our own work, or hoping that what we do, the ministries that we are involved in, that somehow people notice what we have done and fail to give God the glory and God the credit. Jesus says this is what God's kingdom is like. God sows these seeds. Our part, my friends, what you see, John Wesley would talk about the people that are part of God's kingdom, the responsibility that people of faith have to this process, to be faithful to the process of God, to be faithful in our walk of discipleship as God is bringing about this growth. And so you and I do have responsibility, but the growth is God's growth and in God's time. Sometimes we never get to see the result of the work, the faithfulness that we have put into God's kingdom. Sometimes it's other generations that see the glory that God brings. But this growth is not dependent. This growth of God's kingdom is not dependent upon us. When we fail, when we let God down, when we are not responsible to God's plan for this world, God continues to grow God's kingdom. But when we are responsible, when we do say yes, when we act in faith, when we do the work of supporting God's growth, then we experience that great joy of being a part of God's kingdom. The second little parable that Jesus told was about the mustard seed. The mustard seed. And in Jesus' day, the mustard seed was the tiniest, most insignificant sized seed there was. And this seed, Jesus knew, as the seed grew into a plant, it grew slowly, yes, but steadily. And to what Jesus would say is one of the largest pieces of vegetation. Now, this week is interesting. I saw two different places. One, I think, was the Upper Room Devotional, where somebody, or maybe it was Our Daily Bread, where somebody was comparing the growth of the saguaro cactus out in the desert, how large that cactus can grow. And then there was another about the great sequoia trees in California. Well, Jesus wasn't teaching to the disciples in California. He had not seen one of those massive sequoia trees in the Sequoia National Forest. There is a particular tree there that it is claimed to be, by volume at least, the largest tree in the world, towering at 275 feet. It's around it is 102 or 105 feet around at the base. That's an incredible sized tree. And they say the seed of the sequoia is 1/6,000th of an ounce. And so God is telling us about these tiny, seemingly insignificant seeds that are planted. This is what God's kingdom is like. You know, sometimes we get up out of bed and we think we don't have anything to offer. Maybe to our families or to our job or to our community. Maybe sometimes we get up out of bed and we don't think we have anything to offer ourselves. We feel insignificant. You know, John Wesley, in his explanatory notes about parables, he says, you know, the Eastern cultures used these stories like parables because they had great meaning to them. And John Wesley said that it was in this spiritual act of comparing, this spiritual act of using similes, that the Spirit of God can be realized from natural things. Whether those natural things be seeds or plants or trees or people in walks of life very similar to us, the experiences that we have. You see, sometimes it's in these powerful, almost insignificant moments that God's great power can be realized. There was a story of a school in the Appalachian Mountains, and the school was asking some of the students to bring some canned food, and during this food drive at this elementary school, as one of the faculty members was sorting cans and things, as they reached into the bin, they pulled out a sack lunch. And on that sack lunch said, Christie, room 104. Some child named Christie, whose classroom was 104, believed that giving her lunch that day would make the difference in the lives of hungry people. Oh, you and I might think that's a very insignificant little gift, but friends, they say that child's gift that day, that word of that gift spread like wildfire. And not only did that elementary school conduct a successful food drive, but when word got out, other schools in the area also, empowered by that simple act of a child, had very successful food drives. Some of you know the name John Wooden, the late John Wooden, the Hall of Fame basketball coach for UCLA. John Wooden, each season, as the season started, as the college basketball players gathered, they said John Wooden would start the year, and every practice and game, the entire season, he would start by instructing the basketball players how to put their socks on, how to roll every wrinkle out around their heels, every wrinkle rolled out of the socks around their tiny baby toes. Not just the first game, but throughout the season of practices and games. John Wooden knew that those small little insignificant things have great meaning in life. He knew that if his players develop blisters on their heels or toes, they might be out of the game. Friends, small things are powerful things. The small glimpses of your faith are powerful in your lives of faith. You, me, we all are called to tend to our faith lives so that these sometimes insignificant days or encounters that we have with one another or when we come to worship, so that these times have power in our lives, power in God's kingdom. You may feel very small or even insignificant, but God gives you gifts. You have been given gifts and you have been given a spirit to use those gifts and those spirits for God's purposes, even when we feel tiny or small or left behind or left out. On May the 12th, 1807, Robert Morrison, a Presbyterian pastor, sailed from New York City on a ship. He was headed to China. He intended to go and he was going to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Chinese people. And he landed somewhere on the southern tips of China in the area of Macau. But on the way, somebody on that ship teased Robert Morrison about whether he thought he could convert the Chinese people. And Morrison said, "No, I don't expect to, but I expect God will." You see, the power of participating in God's kingdom. One person. It took 7 years of faithful ministry by Robert Morrison before the first Chinese person is recorded to have been baptized. 7 years of daily living. It took 70 years, well past Robert Morrison's life, for the 10th Chinese person to be baptized. Some of this effect by Robert Morrison and the people that he invited into the kingdom of God, and they moved forward. Do you know today they estimate the Christians in China to be 130 million? That's only 200 years, friends. The Bible says experts say in the last 100 years, this is a success story on the spread of Christianity. Today, those 130 million Christians are larger than the Communist Party in China. One person who expected God to give the growth. Friends, we are part of this kingdom. We are part of the kingdom building. We are part of God's people. We're invited to share our gifts and God's passion. We're invited to bring them together, to make them significant for children like in Vacation Bible School, for our youth who go on mission trips, for us as we go out into the world to give people hope. Don't sell yourself off as being insignificant or unskilled or unable or too small. Because it's in those small things where God's power resides. It's in the small things where God uses God's will and power. We're going to come in just a moment. We might think this is a tiny little meal. It's a holy meal. It's God's gift to us to remind us of who our Lord is and who we are and how truly significant we are in this kingdom-building work that we are about. I hope and I pray that on this Father's Day, that you will use those gifts and graces that God has entrusted you with, that your spirit will receive the power of the Holy Spirit so that you can be a part of bearing abundant fruit. In the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our